Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns are at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 218, Santiago del Estero World Cup preview. James, I just knew we were coming back to this place at some point. 2019, when we were there for the last one, everyone was saying it was the last one, and we were like, nope, there's no way we're not coming back to this place. 4 years later, we, as in the BMX world, I mean, we're not physically going, but the world of BMX is going back to Santiago del Estero.
We're back, baby. It's back. The South, the SDE special, Santiago del Estero. I mean, come on now. We thought we burned that place to the ground. Clearly, we didn't do it well enough, and they wanted it back. They wanted to run it back. Let's go.
Some are calling it the Beverly Hills of Argentina. It's quite the place.
90210 district right there.
Yeah, pretty much. But you know what they got there, James? They got a pro gate. You're up. Everyone knows winning starts at the great gate. Gonzalo Molina won a World Cup in Santiago del Estero with a fucking great start.
Absolutely incredible start on a Pro Gate Europe. It's just, you know what? It doesn't matter how far away you are from us, from where, you know, wherever you got to go in the world to race. Santiago del Estero is probably one of the furthest places as a whole that we go, as a BMX community, that we go to race in the World Cups. And guess what? They still have a Pro Gate Europe down there. Why? Because they know it's the best fucking gate around there, okay? You got to get it. You just have to get it. They got it. If they can get it, you can get it.
So we're going to get into a preview on the track, the riders, all that. I'm pretty excited for this one. I think Santiago del Estero will be a good show. We're going to preview it all for you, this show.
I'm just be straight up and be honest with them. I'm coming in a little, I was hot today, coming in hot to the show, a little late. I thought the show was going to be at 5:30 in my head for some reason. I have no idea.
I was wondering if you were coming in hot because I didn't get the thing till 4:58.
I know. And then part of the reason is I'm a little wounded, right? We went out with the crew last night and the classic night out, you know, that it just like a little tired still. So if I'm flustering my words, I flustered the time, you understand why.
What'd you drink last night?
I think we were doing a lot of tequila shots.
Oh, tequila's great.
Yeah. I mean, it goes down okay, but. It was a lot of shots, not like, you know, mm-hmm. It was a good night. Actually, I act like it's a bad thing. It was a great thing. It was fantastic.
No, so. you got to enjoy life.
Yeah. So classic little Sunday activity.
We're going to start off this show today with a coach's corner, and we're going to get into the topic of home race advantage or just performing at home as an athlete. So a little backstory about why I was inspired by this. So I watched the Ryder Cup all weekend, the last 3 days, which is the biggest golf event there is. It's every 2 years. It's US versus Europe, and it's a team event for those people that don't know. So it rotates. Like 2 years ago, it was in Wisconsin, so it was in the US, and this year it was in Rome in Europe, and they go back and forth every 2 years. It's a three-day event, team play, and then it's a huge fucking deal. It's like the Olympics of golf. You know, golf is in the Olympics, but really in the golf world, this is like the pinnacle of golf. So Europe blew out the US this weekend. They killed them. It was in Europe. Even though generally like the American players are much better players and higher ranked. Obviously it varies every 2 years, but generally there's an interesting phenomenon. The last 5 years, it's gone. Whoever's the home team fucking blows the other team out. So 2 years ago, the US absolutely shit kicked Europe. And this year the Europe absolutely steamrolled the US. Virtually there's a few different players, but virtually the same teams. So the only difference is you're going overseas to the other continent to play.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but it kind of got me fascinated because I'm like, what the fuck is that different? Like
right.
You, like obviously when you, if you're from North America, you go to Europe to North America, whatever, culture's different, food's different, time zones, all that. But what's kind of fascinating to me, it's like, how is that different? Because 10 out of the 12 European players on Europe all live in the US and all play on the PGA Tour. So they actually right. like are more or less living the same life as all the Americans are.
Right. They're not really changing their lifestyle when they're in the US. That's what they're actually used to nowadays.
All of Europe's like vast majority of their players, 10 of the 12, all had to fly overseas as well. So it's not like, they're at home in Rome and they just wake up and go to the golf course. Like they're going to a new place.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it got me thinking, okay, well, that can't be the difference. So what makes a big difference? Well, you have the home crowd, which is huge. The home crowd, like there was hundreds of thousands of people there. Obviously the home crowd wants their team to do well, is cheering them on, insanely encouraging, not to mention they're like booing and taunting the other team. So like, you fucking suck. Your mom's a whore. Like, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, which is like a lot of the Americans were players were saying, like for like 4 hours, they were just getting it from people. And like, obviously that wears on you. If you're putting in front of 50,000 people and you know that people are yelling and swearing at you, the second you miss the putt, you're going to get booed and laughed at. It's not an easy situation to be in. Dude, let's all be real.
Hell no. That'd be so tough. Especially golf is such a weird sport to have people yelling at you like that. It's not like hockey, basketball, football, where the action's fast paced. You get in a play, you mix it up, and then boom, you get off. And there's also like that, people talk about that barrier between the fans and like the players. Golf is not that. It's slow, it's quiet, and the fans are just in your face. Like they're just feet away from you half the time. So they're really, when they're yelling at you or talking shit to you, they're really talking shit into your ear. It's nuts.
So, and in this situation in golf, where there's golf or whatever sport, BMX, like the home crowd wants you to do well. You know they want you to do well. Every time they announce your name, the crowd fucking roars. You feel the energy. You feel inspired. I think that's the biggest thing. So from my own personal experience, 3 times I've raced a big race in Canada, 2007 Worlds, 2012 World Cup Finals, and the 2015 Pan Am Games. So I went first at those. So I won the Worlds in Canada in 2007. I was 15. World Cup Finals, was battling for first, ended up crashing, got up and got fourth, but realistically was one of the fastest guys there and they're certainly up for the win. Mm-hmm. And I won the Pan Am Games coming back from injury. So in thinking about it, honestly, on paper, there's no way I should have won the Pan Am Games. There's no way I should have beat Connor, Alfredo, or Nick. They were all faster than I was at that point, especially not even being 100% coming back from an ankle reconstruction.
Yeah.
But I felt this, I remember, like I felt this overwhelming belief and confidence in myself that I could do anything there. And I didn't give a shit that they had been racing all year and doing well at World Cups and whatever. Like I just, as soon as I started pedaling there in warm up, no joke, I felt lighter than air and I just knew I was going to win. Yeah. It's crazy.
That is wild. Yeah, it's wild that you feel that and you even bring that up, because even from the outside, I think at the time you coming back from injury, I remember thinking as an outsider, like, man, he's going to have a tough time. Like, and then like, not a tough time, but it's like, yeah, it's like you want him to be up for the win, but it's like, you don't really expect him to be up for the win. And then I remember you won the time trial and the race. And then it was like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I had never won a time trial or a big race before, and I won both for the first time there. Not even on, and you know what? It's not even a home track. It's 5 hours flight away, obviously. Yeah. You know, it's like not like I was there sleeping there, just, you know.
Yeah.
So this kind of fascinated me because I realized myself, like, look, I'm obviously small sample size, but personally, obviously I was faster in Canada than I was anywhere else in the world.
Right.
So I wanted to see, like, how does this compare to other top riders? So I calculated average finishes for a few different riders here by their home country and outside their home country. So we'll go through it. And so for the context of the average finishes, they're higher than you may think, because we all have outliers. Like you might get a couple podiums, then have like a 30th where you crash in the quarter, or, you know, like no one has, it's fucking impossible to have every single, to make every main and or podium is my point.
Yeah. It's so, BMX. It's not like something like tennis where, you know, you can, you're going to be able to be more consistent. Let's be real. You can be more consistent in a sport like that or something versus BMX.
Yeah. So I did me, Connor Fields, Liam Phillips, Nick Keeman, and then Gonzalo Molina, because we're racing Argentina this weekend, obviously.
Yeah.
So for the context of this, I kind of figured out that if your average finish is first to sixth, it means you're winning races. Like it means you have multiple wins.
Right.
If your average finish is like 6 to 12, it means you're close to winning. Like you're getting seconds and thirds. Like you're pretty consistently on the box battling up front.
Okay.
And if your average finish is 12 to 20, you're making mains and podiums, which actually surprised me. But if you weigh the average of all the results, it kind of holds true. So 12 to 20, you're like making mains and then podiums, kind of both. Not on every podium, but like you're consistently, say, top eight.
Right. Okay.
So if we go through my finishes, we just started with, my experience in Canada. So my average finish in Canada was 2, which means like you're fucking winning races.
Yeah.
Off those, it's regardless, small sample size, but there's 3 big races to come from.
Right.
also side note, I only took into account like World Cups, World Champs, Olympics, and in this case, Pan Am. So like the big Supercross ones.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do USA BMX, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my average finish in Canada was 2. My average finish in the US was 10.7. So it goes from a 2 to a 10.7 going to the US. So I go from basically like winning to close to winning, say
on the podium, as you said. Yeah.
And then average finish in Europe, 18.9. So a full 8 spots worse in Europe. So I go from basically battling for win and not close to winning, so like second thirds, to making mains slash podiums in Europe, which is quite significant.
Yeah, big time. Into, yeah.
So we'll go through Connor next, which is interesting too. So Connor's average finish in his home country in the US is 4.25, which he's balling out. Like he's winning, obviously.
Yeah.
He's won multiple World Cups in the US.
Okay. So that number's off of World Cups in the US?
And World Champs.
World Champs as well. Okay, yeah.
So World Cups, World Champs. So 4.25, it's in that 1-6, which means he's winning races.
Yeah.
He goes over to Europe. He goes from 4.25 to a 13.1.
So he hops right out of that second bracket there.
He's not even in the close to winning. Like, he's probably on the edge of close to winning slash making main podiums. Granted, there are some outliers, like he won Papendal.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, he goes from like a guy winning to a guy making mains and podiums,
right?
Which I thought was pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Liam is really interesting. So Liam Phillips, yeah, talk about fucking balling out in your home country. His average finish in England, so you take in the Manchester World Cups and the Olympics, is 2.4. If you take out the Olympics,
it's just one.
Yeah, he had a perfect record at World Cups in England. So there's nobody in their home country like Liam, literally nobody.
Yeah.
So 2.4 is like, it's a fake number. No one's that low.
That's a joke. Because even his Olympic is London Olympics was him, I would say, early in his like dominant stage of his career. Does that make sense? Like that he hadn't started dominating yet. Like that was, that's nuts. Yeah. Okay.
And he ended up crashing counting in eighth, which a crash, but he was in like third.
Yeah.
Which his average would be like a 1.8 or something. But anyway, 2.4. He goes from a 2.4 in England to an average finish in Europe of 16.2. So he goes from basically untouchable in his home country to 6.2, which means he's kind of just making mains and podiums.
Yeah. Wow. That's a huge jump if you're looking at those. Yeah.
Yeah. And then interestingly, he was actually better in the US than he was in the rest of Europe. He's a 14.5 average finish in the US.
No way.
Which is kind of shocking, right?
Yeah. I wonder
that he'd be better in the US.
That's it. That is kind of interesting. Yeah. I wonder why or how that happens or why would that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was, it's kind of interesting. So really, if you look at, like most, I don't think anyone would consider that I'm better than Liam Phillips, but you look at our races in the U.S. specifically, I was a 10.7 and he was a 14.5 in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably theoretically say, like, yeah, the tracks are different, whatever. You could probably theoretically say that I was more comfortable in the U.S. than he was overall.
Mm. I 100% I would agree with that, yeah.
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 So that kind of makes up the difference if you have good ride, like top riders, it makes a big difference. So Then we go to Niek. His average finish in Holland is 5.1, which again, like he's balling out, he's winning races.
Yeah.
So that counts just Papendal, like Worlds and World Cups. So 5.1.
That's a good one too. Cause Papendal, I mean, we've had how many races there? Like all these stats are including the races in that country. It's like, obviously the US had a bunch, but in recent years, I'd say Holland is the place that's had the most probably just cause every year they have one.
Yeah. So his average in Holland is 5.1. In Europe, outside of Holland, he's a 10.25. So he instantly slides 5 spots worse in Europe outside of Holland.
Okay.
Which, yeah. That's interesting,
like,
right?
Yeah. Like, because thinking about it, like when we think of Holland, we think of Europe. But, oh, yeah, it's all kind of relatively the same. Like, oh, they're at home and they're in Europe still. But that's still a jump. Like, it's still a drop down.
Yeah. And obviously, there's like he's won in France and he's won races outside of Holland in Europe, but he essentially goes from winning races to close to winning.
Yeah. Okay.
With a couple wins. One of the most shocking ones that I saw, Gonzalo Molina. So I did his because obviously he's won a World Cup in Argentina. And he's been on the circuit a long time. So there's quite a bit of data for his World Cups as well. His average finish in Santiago del Estero is 6.4. So by that logic, he is an elite level rider. He's winning races essentially. Yeah. He's on the back end, but he's winning races. He goes from a 6.4 at Santiago del Estero specifically to a 39.1 in Europe.
Oh my God.
So you could basically say like a 39.1, it's not like an average pro, but it's like, I mean, it's like a quarterfinal guy. It's like you're,
yeah. You're trying to get into the quarterfinals.
So he basically goes from an average pro on the World Cup circuit to an elite level winner in his home country. So point being with all this, which I thought fascinating, is like you can't undervalue the advantage of racing at home. And that's why I think the Argentina guys are going to truly kill it in Santiago del Estero. Like, it's obviously not a perfect science, but the numbers here are pretty consistent and they don't lie. And like, if we look back at the last World Cup in Sarrians, it's like, in going through this, it's almost impossible to think that the French wouldn't sweep the podium in Sarrians. And looking at the Olympics next year, I for sure think they're going to win gold and have one other medal at the Olympics. I thought that before, but I certainly think more now. Judging from the numbers too, because France has so many fast guys, if you take the World Cup in Sarrians, for example, it's almost impossible for a non-French guy to win there, because you got to think, even if one of those guys fucks up, they're all so elite, the top five or six they have, that one of them is going to win.
Kind of seems that way when you start putting it into number format. Like, if each stat we've done is for one person and they're that much better at home for just that one person, mm-hmm. your odds, if you have 6, 7, 8 guys that are going to be doing that much better at home, I mean, it's just, yeah, how could you not pick one of them to win?
And because they're, like, obviously people might think that find holes because they've won in Papinel and stuff this year, or like they've won outside of their home country. I think because their average level and speed is so much higher right now, they can win in every country. And I think it goes to show how fucking elite Romain and Joris are. They can win anywhere on the planet, go into people's home tracks. When you look at how much better people are in their home country and actually win,
yeah,
they're so much better than anybody else right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane to think about. I mean, I feel like Turkey is one place that I guess nobody really had that home track advantage. So that is one thing where it's okay. Then it's who's yeah. really going the fastest, because it comes down to everybody. Right. But afterwards, I mean, even like you look at the world, it's like that wasn't their home track, and the Frenchies mm-hmm. were flying there too. It's like the fact that they were able to up that level there, it's nuts.
Yeah. So, like, statistically speaking, if you take a top rider and have them race home World Cups, they're going to win a World Cup at some point, like, or come close. And yeah. barring a huge fuck up, if they just go out and do what they do, you're going to. And like, even if it isn't their home track, I don't think it actually matters. I think being in your home country, and looking at World Cups where guys have done well, like Gonzalo or a couple other guys come to mind, it's like, statistically, you don't have to be an elite racer to win a World Cup in your home country. You just have to have the elite speed and have some shots at it, and you probably will.
Yeah. I think that Gonzalo stat is nuts. I mean, it is. It's not like it wasn't apparent either, though, that like the years we went to Argentina, that it was like, okay, like he's going to be a threat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like we talk about, like, there are races where guys have been fast, not in their home country. We're not saying that doesn't happen. Like, he won Rock Hill the one year, or sorry, didn't win, almost won the year in Rock Hill. Did he win it? Won with Corbin in Rock Hill?
No, he got passed at the line.
Okay, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, so it's like he was fast there, but it's like when these other races in Europe where there are times where you know he's in the moto and he's like, he's kind of that guy, you're like, oh, okay, it's just another fast guy in the moto, but you don't expect him to go on and win the race or be in the main fighting for a podium. As soon as it gets to Argentina, you instantly look at him for like, okay, you're expecting him to mm-hmm. be battling for that win, which is insane that it just jumps like that. And the same thing happened to Torres too. I mean, yep. the guy wasn't,
yep.
yeah, he was passing people. He was really fast, but you weren't ever seeing him like consistently in a main. That one year, he just popped off in Argentina, won it. He passed Gonzalo and won it the one time. It's like, it was insane.
I wanted to do his too, but I just didn't have time.
Yeah.
This took me an hour by myself to just crunch all this stuff together. And I would yeah. love to do the whole pro class, but I don't have a team of 20 people to help me. I was doing it in my kitchen on my phone. So, but yeah, Gonzalo, good example. He essentially goes from like an average World Cup pro to fucking elite. Another yeah. guy I thought of was like Kyle Evans. If you look at his results, I haven't crunched his, but probably pretty average based on results around the world. But in England, he's similar to Gonzalo.
Right.
Gonzalo is to Argentina.
It's crazy.
It goes to show how big of a disadvantage the rest of the world has it always racing in Europe. Like, it's unrealistic to think you'll have the same results as Europeans.
Right.
Barring other differences.
I got to think that the drop down for the Europeans, like, so someone like Nick or the Dutchies, their drop down from racing at home to then racing in Europe has to be less of a drop than, yeah, people South America going to Europe, obviously, right?
Yeah, like they'd have. Yeah. I would think.
Or like us going, U.S. going to Europe, like there, or yes, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that I also thought of is going to be really interesting to see the U.S. perform in Tulsa next year. So for the guys specifically, the odds on favorite would logically be Cam Wood. He's won there. He's in the U.S. I think he would be the highest percentage guy to win in general out of anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think barring a huge fuck up, he will win a World Cup. And there's a good chance that statistically another guy like Jeremy or Cam or whoever will probably have a breakout performance.
That'll be cool. That'll be really cool. Like if that can, not just for the stats, because obviously now I kind of want the stats to work out, but not just for that, but mm-hmm. that's just, it would be cool to see them do that. And it'll be cool now to see them have an opportunity to do that again. Because there hasn't been a whole lot in the U.S. to have that opportunity. I mean, there's been the Rock Hill a couple years ago, but it feels like it's been scarce lately. Like comparatively speaking mm-hmm. to way back in the day where it was every year there was the Chula races at least, or there was a couple sometimes in there, so.
Yeah, and that's one thing I consider too with this data. It's like, well, there's a lot more races in Europe than there is in the U.S., so the sample sizes are different, but the stats kind of still held true whether it was Liam or Neek or Connor and I or Gonzalo. Like depending on our countries, it's still generally all panned out to be the same thing. So I think it averaged out anyway, especially if it's over a long enough period of time.
I wonder, yeah. Can be cool. Are there any other Argentina guys we should keep an eye on now that we know these kind of they're going to have a, you know, better chance in their home race, home country?
Honestly, I was kind of shocked by this. I didn't realize it was this big of a difference, but yeah, now after seeing this, and granted, past results don't necessarily dictate future results, but somewhat of a whatever. Like if it's consistent like this, I think there's validity to it.
All right, Freddie, Gonzalo, Torres, your guys' time to shine, boys. It's your time to shine.
Anyway, that's Coach's Corner for this week. I thought it was fascinating.
I love that. No, because I mean, like we can talk as much as we want about it, but it's like. Sometimes I'm sure people think we're talking out of our ass, being like, oh, they're so much, you know, more comfortable, blah, blah, blah. Like, and people are thinking, well, it's the same gauge. It's a BMX track. They're eating food. I'm sure they're going to be just fine, just comfortable. It's going to be the same shit. Well, it's like, no, stats show that it's different. There is a change in performance.
Yeah. So if countries want more Olympic points, you just got to put World Cups in your home country and let your guys ball out.
That's what gets nuts. Like, That's always been a thing too. The more points you need, mm-hmm. you just start having more races, you'll be able to do better. And it's like, that proves it.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Yeah.
What so a coach's fun. Corner. I like that. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah. I was like having so much fun looking at all the numbers.
We need like, we don't have stats people in our sport.
You know what we fucking needed? We needed a World Cup in Canada every year when I was racing. That's what we needed.
Wouldn't that be something, hey?
I know. Only. Yeah, that would have been sick.
We had the track so for it. Toronto was built. We had the track for it.
You could almost make the like conclusion that someone like Liam might not be viewed as the same rider if there was no Manchester World Cups.
It's a good point. Yeah, it's a really good point.
I mean, obviously he won the Worlds in New Zealand though. Plus he also won a World Cup in Sweden and then a couple in Argentina. Did he win a couple or just one in Argentina?
At least one. I don't know.
But still, he won World Cups outside Manchester, but he wouldn't have had the same amount, obviously.
Do you think somebody like Liam would have trained differently if he didn't have all those races in Manchester, in the sense of he knew he had that race to train for and he put all his focus on that, in my opinion, probably. Like he'd train his winter, like, okay, we're gonna go win Manchester. He'd do everything to win Manchester, and then obviously he'd prepare himself for the other races. But I feel like Manchester could have been number one on his list all the time. If he didn't have that, is he training differently, going to different places, getting more comfortable being somewhere else versus just being at home? Do you think that changes at all?
For sure. Cause I know the one time we had a World Cup, I trained at Abbotsford, like to win it. That was the whole goal.
Yeah.
And other times I kind of rode tracks wherever, not giving a shit about actually thinking about winning at like my home track.
Right. Yeah.
So definitely 100% you train a bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to think about.
Yeah. All right. Well, that being said, let's get into the Santiago del Estero preview. I thought we started this off by saying, what's been our favorite Santiago del Estero year and memory?
Ooh. All right. All right. You go first. Mind? Yeah, you go first because I know you've thought about it. So you hit with yours.
One of the funniest ones was the 2015 World Cup, the morning after the after party and race day at the airport. The entire BMX world and almost every national team was at that little airport. Everyone went straight from the after party, no sleep. Everyone was still drunk. Bodie was like fucking sleeping against a wall at the airport. We get on the plane. I think there's like three guys on the plane that aren't BMXers. They're walking in suits and they're just looking at us like, what the fuck is going on in this bus or on this plane?
That morning is just an absolute classic one with how small that airport is, how many BMXers are on that exact flight getting out of there, because there's only, what, the two options. It's crazy.
Nuts. And then I remember, because you gotta fly to San Jose del Estero to Buenos Aires, and you got to get your bags, recheck in, and then, like, we would fly to, like, Houston, and then Houston to Vancouver, I guess.
Yeah.
None of our bags really made it the first flight, so you're pretty fucked because you have to get them and then recheck in with a different airline.
Yeah, because you got to change airports. You got to drive an hour.
I thought there was no way my bags were making it to Canada. It took like a week to finally get the stuff. I had to call Argentina every day from Canada.
That's, yeah. At that point, you're just saying, sayonara, your bags are gone. Like, see you later. I'll just figure out new stuff.
It had like five express tags on it. I got it.
One express tag to one airport, next one to the other airport, one to Houston, one somewhere else. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
What's one of my favorite memories from there? Let me think. I feel like, you know, you threw in an after party. I think it's an absolute classic funny moment that when we walked into one after party, think we were just showing up their normal time and the place was just an absolute ghost town. Not even one soul was in there dancing, partying, drinking, doing anything. They were literally still cleaning the floors, and we're talking like 12:30. If it was like 12:30 at that point.
That was hilarious. We go in there expecting a raging after party. We're primed. We're just ready to go. We get there. Not one single soul is there.
Not one, dude. We had been pre-drinking at the hotel. Just
we were ready.
We were waiting like, okay, we're gonna be late this time. We're going to go later. We're going to be ready to go by the time it's going. No. We'll just be the absolute first ones there. Oh,
that's
my
the
God.
Funniest part is we like purposely waited. It was like me, you, and Connor, I think. Connor was with us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Connor, we like Connor Bodie. Was Bodie there?
Maybe with us too.
I think the Aussies were in there, yeah.
Anyway, like, we went there ready thinking, yeah, we're coming up late. We did it all right, and there was just nothing.
Oh, it's just so brutal, dude.
That was really tough.
Yeah. Dude, there's been so many. This is why, like, Santiago is an OG. It's just a classic stop. There's a lot of good shit that happens there and a lot of good memories. Like, we could talk about after party stories for a while. We could talk about some of the racing there has been fantastic, like from Liam and Maris, like from you've raced phenomenally there, from the Argentina guys, from Laura just fucking racking up wins there, the crowd going nuts. Yeah, there's been some really, really good races there, which is really cool too.
I feel like it's one of those races now, because the first one there was 10 years ago in 2013. There's been some good history and some good like hype main events for people to watch now. And they're probably going there for the first time, stoked to go there after watching all those races in the past.
I think so. And I sure hope so too. I think there's going to be a lot of new faces now. I think there's, in the past 3-4 years since we've been there, there's definitely been new faces coming in that probably have, like, they've seen all everyone's videos and stories and blah, blah, blah from back in the day. And now they're getting to experience it for the first time themselves, which is pretty cool.
Remember the first time we went there in 14, I thought it was so cool. Like, it's just South America is so different. There's fucking stray dogs walking everywhere. We had steak every day for dinner. I don't know. The atmosphere and the fans were sick. It's just so much fun, that trip.
So I got a couple questions for you about two things. One, Argentina, Santiago del Estero, we know it's far away. Okay. Everyone in the world knows that it's going to be, you're traveling somewhere far away. Is it required? Like, are you annoyed by seeing everyone, every time there's an Argentina World Cup? This happened back then too. Everyone starts snapping, putting stories up of their long travel. Oh, you know, flight one, flight two, flight three kind of thing. It is just behind the scenes stuff. Like, that's, I don't want to like bite my own tongue here where I say like, I want all this behind the scenes content. But then I feel like when it's this classic airport timeline stuff that comes up all the time, it gets so old so quickly to me. Am I the only one here? Like, do you feel that way?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. BMX, like Instagram and stuff, is extraordinarily predictable. Everyone just posts the same thing. Problem is, someone sees someone post it and they want to be cool and just post the same thing.
I feel like that's what it is sometimes too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, just like last weekend, everyone put out the exact same post. You know, racing was canceled today. It was the best decision. Yeah. Excited for tomorrow. 50 people probably posted the same thing.
And it's like every rider has their own, you know, audience as well. We get that. Not everyone's audience is the exact same. Maybe it's because we're just following a bunch of the same people. Maybe that's why we see it that way. But it's kind of cringy. It's kind of painful to see all the time too. I'm just like, cool, like you're going to Argentina. Like I am aware that Argentina is in South America and it's pretty far down there. So I'm aware you're going to have to take many flights. That's not news here. Okay.
Although like we all think we have our own following. It's a lot of overlap. There was something on Instagram. I was just trying to find it. I don't remember where you see it, but like me and Connor, we have something like, I don't know, 70 or 80% of our followers are the same.
That's crazy. Like that. Wow.
Or 50 or something crazy. Like some high percentage. Yeah. So it's not like we have some huge authentic following for the most part.
It's fair. It's fair. Yeah. All right.
Most people follow like all the pros or whatever. So it's not like that different, but yeah, people, I don't know. I guess if they're all doing the same thing, generally you post stories of what you're doing. So naturally everyone's going to post the same thing.
Yeah. That's where I, like I said, I feel like I'm biting my own tongue when I always say like, it's nice to have behind the scenes content. Like that's the stuff that's personable. But then I see this and I just see the same thing. And I'm like, why am I seeing the same thing over and over and over? So,
yeah.
My other question was going to be with 2 weekends back to back again, Argentina in the past has always been a place with great fans. The atmosphere is fantastic. It's electric. It's one of the best ones. With 2 weekends back to back, are we going to see that a little scaled down, do you think? Is it going to be a little washed? Like, is it going to be, instead of having 100% of the hype on one weekend, we're going to see 50% of the hype on both weekends? Like 50, yeah.
Good question, because I think that was watered down before when we first went to Argentina. It was a one-day World Cup as opposed to 2 days.
Yeah.
I think there might have been more people overall for the weekend, but I think there was more people at one time when there was one race day.
That's what I feel like too. Yeah.
So yeah, logically you probably have less people per day now with 2 weekends, which sucks.
Yeah. It's a bummer. Cause that's where I was kind of getting it at my head was the 1 day race there. The atmosphere felt amazing, electric, fantastic. Mm-hmm. 2 day. It was awesome, but there was definitely, it didn't have the same kind of electricity as the 1 day did. So now I'm like, well, shit, now it's going to be 4 races. How much does that electricity drop even more?
I thought of this and I kind of forgot to talk about it last week in the recap show. But do you think France, the buildup was even more because it was just essentially a one day World Cup again?
Honestly, thinking about it, yeah, I do. 100% I do. Yeah. Like, it's just, let's be realistic about it. Like, the same fans are probably coming for both days. Like, we talk about our blending audiences. Like, we're not getting a set. Like, if you're looking like a Luke Combs concert in Vancouver, he's got 2 days. He's getting probably 2 separate sold out like audiences. Like, those are separate people coming. There's not many people that are going to both shows because it's the same. He's probably rolling out the same performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And BMX, but that's not happening. That's definitely not like, okay, 1 day is going to be one group. The second day is going to be a completely new audience. Like, it's not going to be that way. You're lucky if you're going to get the same people on both days and a couple more people come on 1 day, I feel like.
So I'm sure the atmosphere will be good, but I think that will hurt it, to answer your question. Yeah.
Kind of a bummer. I hope it's still good and I hope they still turn out. So
I'm sure it will be. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get into the track, the turns. Let's start there. Saw Joris's video. The turns are going to be a problem.
What are we doing with this paint, dog?
It's a fucking nightmare. It's a disaster. It's already a disaster.
We need to absolutely lock this up now. Like, we can't be making any more tracks with painted turns. I don't care what, if you think you're going to put this extra grip in there, just do regular asphalt. That's all it needs.
Yeah. Like, everyone likes it when it looks cool, but it's like you sacrifice the ability to actually corner. Massive problem.
And it's like, yeah, we've seen Turkey was like the early example. It was like, okay, we see that the blue turns weren't working. People then did say that they were fine eventually, but it's like, I don't know. There seems to be a common theme here that when there are painted turns, or at least they're a certain color, you know, things are happening, they're getting slippery.
Yeah, and obviously, Joris didn't even look like he was carving that hard either. Didn't look like he was overriding by any means.
No. Yes, it's only one video, and it's like, I'm sure they're going to race it just fine. It could have been a little slip-up, who knows, but there is a common theme here. So, have you ever ridden painted turns of any sort like that?
You know, it's funny. The first time I raced in Del Estero, whole shot of my first moto, they had painted a big Santiago Del Estero image in the first corner. I was hole shotting and slid out by myself as soon as I hit the paint.
Yeah. So, yeah. I do remember that. Actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it makes a huge difference. It really does. I mean, I've never raced blue painted turns, but like Rock Hill, though, I consider those painted. They're coated with a sealant. Like, that's the same idea. It's like it gets slippery. It's not the grippy surface that you're used to riding. It's like, yeah.
The turns in Rio were painted. They were green, but they were super grippy. I don't know what they did, but those were great corners.
I wonder. Yeah, I'm really curious to actually know what they did.
Yeah, it was fine. Like, it was really grippy.
Did I hear they did something like a tennis court surface? I don't even know.
Sounds
what
that familiar.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either.
Or they did that to the Start Hill or something, but.
Oh, the Start Hill was too. Yeah.
Yeah. If there, maybe people are trying to do something like that and they're just not putting enough grip down, or I don't know, dude, but we can't be having that.
Let's talk about the hill. Good change of subject. Janky hill for sure. But man, that was my favorite hill. I felt, out of all the hills I ever rode, I always felt the fastest on that one. I don't know what it was, but it's definitely a janky hill. Like, the hard to describe, but the kink is different. It's like sharper on the inside, and like there's like two, or and it's more like it's a lot. The actual kink part is longer on the outside lanes. It's not up to code.
It's not up to spec. There needs to be a formal protest for some people that don't like that, because it was.
It's steeper too,
dude. Yeah, lane one. Is it like the kink,
like
is
the,
or
hill,
like, yeah, a little bit?
I think the hill in general is steeper than a typical one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cause so like lane one, I remember being very kinky, and then lane eight, mm-hmm. it almost had like
two.
Almost, it was a double kink. Mm-hmm. It was like a little tunk instead of like just one single one. It's like super janky, super weird. I'm surprised you liked it. Like, I understand it was fast because it's the concrete hill, but dude, I hated how bumpy it was with that kink.
Yeah, the only thing I cared about was, I think I was the fastest on that hill out of any other ones I've rode, so I didn't give a shit.
You can care less how I feel. Feel ain't real.
I don't
time.
Give a shit. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely, that's the jankiest hill in the world, I think.
Gotta be.
Uh-huh. It's concrete too. So it's different than, it's not like the typical surface.
I love how high up you feel, like, because your head is basically just against the rafters up there. You take, like, mm-hmm. you walk up to the platform, and then you take a few more steps up onto the gate, which is then your head's like right against like the rooftop there. It's that's a kind of cool feeling.
God, I miss being at the gate of that place. So much fun.
But someone invite the kid back. Someone get Terry on the old what Coach's Corner again? Not Coach's Corner, Terry's Corner. We call it Terry's Corner.
God, I would love to do that. It seems like so long ago now.
Yeah. They need to bring that back.
I know. I miss doing that. Yeah. All right. Let's get into elites. I'm going to start off with Gonzalo. From my research today, he is going to be a elite level rider this weekend and next weekend. Look for him to be in the mains battling for wins, to be quite honest.
Battling for wins. It's a big one. With the French guys going as fast as they have been, that's a big one. Yeah, I don't see why not, though. Like, we talked about the stats earlier. I mean, he improves with these ones. I don't see him battling for the win. I think there's too many fast guys right now. I don't think mm-hmm. he's been on the same level as the years that he won. But I definitely think he'll be in the main. One of the days. We're going just this weekend, right? We're only talking about one weekend right now.
Yeah, we're going this weekend.
Yeah, I think he'll be in one of the mains, and I think I see our next person on the list, Torres. I think he's in one of the mains as well. I just don't see them being lanes one and two in the final, battling for that, like, for that win, in my opinion.
He rode good in France. He made semis in France in Sarrians. Like, wow, word jumble. Gonzalo made the semi in Sarrians.
There it is.
Which, like, in racing in Europe and France, making the semi, I think is really good for him. So I think he's going to fucking ball out. I don't know if he'll beat Romain and Joris, but I think he's going to be battling up front for wins.
You know what? Lately, I feel like, you can tell where somebody is. I feel like his Instagram lately has been a little bit, he's been there. He's been in Santiago getting some training in. So maybe he knows it's coming. Maybe he knows it's time to step on the gas again with the Olympics around the corner. This is that shot. I feel like, now that I think about it, and if I didn't realize he was in the semi in Sarrians, so.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. Like, that's really good result.
Yeah, I could be not biting my tongue, but I could be surprised here on what we see from him, because. Yeah, I'm watching more videos of him putting in work there from months ago.
And honestly, in the past years, when like Gonzalo or Torres like won and Del Estero did really well, there was kind of no like indication that they were going to do it. It's not like prior races they were killing it before it. They just kind of showed up and did it. It's not like they were trending hard.
Yeah, That's a good point, actually. That's good point.
I don't think it matters for someone like Torres either, if we're going to mention him too. I think he just kind of has it racer mentality all the time, and put him in his home country at that track, he's going to do really well.
Man, it just feels nuts. And you're thinking of these guys who we haven't talked about winning a World Cup all year, and now it's just like, I think he might maybe could win one. Like, I think I'm backtracking on my words almost now.
No joke. Those two are going to be up front battling for wins. I hope they are. I hope my analysis that I did today just fucking holds strong.
We need those percentages to go off.
Yeah, we do. But I think, yeah. Granted, over four races, it's not like they're probably going to be battling for a win every single main. But generally, over the course of this weekend or next weekend, if we kind of briefly mention that, I think it will happen. Yeah.
You think the track not being any different than the years previous, like, does that help them or does it help the other riders more? And I say that because he's getting to practice on the track consistently, whereas the other guys maybe know the track, but they haven't been there for years. So it's just like, okay, we know the track, but he knows it like the back of his hand.
I don't think it matters in general at all.
No, not a big difference.
Not really. I think the biggest difference is they're in Argentina at races they've been successful at with a home crowd.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. But yeah, I mean, of course he probably does know the track 1% better also. So
you're putting Gonzalo in both mains first weekend?
Gonzalo and Torres in both mains. Yeah.
Both of them in both mains. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Dude, they're going to kill it. I'm telling you. They're going to kill it this weekend.
All right.
You just fucking wait.
I'm putting one of them in each main one time.
Okay.
So that'll be my guess there.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough.
But I think I'm going to say it. Romain wins the first day. He's back. I'm going to go with my winners. Romain at Jorce. It's going to go the exact same as the other stops this year. Romain's bouncing back from his mistake in Sarrians. It is what it is. Made a mistake. Back on the road. Back to next race. Moving on. I think he does it.
Yeah, I don't see how I can contest that. I think Romain and Joris will probably win also. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like a hard prediction.
I just don't see Gonzalo or Torres beating out Romain, Joris or Rancurel down the first straight, even like Sylvain right now.
I see Gonzalo.
You do? Hey, like, I just can't picture it.
Have you seen that guy connect on a first straight?
I know, but I mean, like, I'm thinking, like, how does he get to that position? Okay, he's got to have his fast lap times, which he knows the track exceptionally well, so he's got to put in good laps. But I just see Joris, Romain, Jeremy, Sylvain putting in just as fast or faster lap times. So it's like, that's where the disconnect is for me, where I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm not saying Gonzalo is going to be in lane one and win all his laps with fastest lap times, but I'm saying, like, in the main, there's a high probability I think he'll be battling for first into the first corner.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And Torres probably not. He's not a good enough starter, but he's so good in the corners around the track. He'll like slither his way to the front.
He'll side saddle the heck out of that bike and just go under three people. And it just is what it is.
He'll just find ways to the front and he'll be up battling up front. Yeah. 100%.
Crazy.
We should probably mention Freddy Villegas, also another Argentinian. For whatever reason, I don't think he'll battle up front like Gonzalo or Torres. With that said, I think he'll be like semi guy.
Yeah, I think that would be great. It would be great to see him back in the semi. I mean, he's been battling back from injuries for a while, getting himself back in the groove. And we talked about him, last fall? Talking about him, it looked like he was making big gate changes and like, I feel like he's made some big changes in the past while that we just haven't seen come through yet. And this could be the place to kind of spark him up a little bit. Maybe things start to feel a little bit better being at home, gets those good race center belt, good results, gets that mojo going, gets some extra confidence, and who knows how well he does moving forward after this. So it'll be nice to see him get a good win. He's obviously he's a friend of the program, good guy. Mm-hmm. Loves, you know, he's got massive elbows down the hill, just some guy you do not want to be beside if you got his elbows in your face. So. Watch it. I mean, yeah, we want Frey to do well. At the end of the day, you just want Frey to do well.
And he's done well there in the past. Like, he's rode really well there before, so there's no reason he can't again.
His days when he was riding on his croupie, I remember. You guys had some good battles there. I feel like he was flying. That was like many, many years ago now, but yeah, he was flying then.
Another guy that's been really fast in Delastair in the past is Alfredo.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, like we're talking fastest guy to the bottom of the hill without a doubt in the past.
I'd love to see him back too. I mean, he's been quiet as of late. Talked about that. Like he's just been quiet, kind of doing his own thing. He was still fast at Worlds. He was still really quick. But hasn't had like shown any results that make us go, holy shit, like there's Alfie. But this could be the place for him to do it.
I think Alfie could come out of nowhere and be a weapon this weekend.
Imagine he just pulls off a win out of nowhere. That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, that I'd be happy for him. Who doesn't want to see Alfredo win?
Right? That'd be nuts. French guys, how many have we seen in the finals, you think?
So we got, we already mentioned Romain and Joris. Then we also got Romain, Rencarel, Sylvain, and Pils.
Yeah.
Sylvain will get on the box.
And Garion.
Oh yeah, and Leo, yeah.
He's a main event guy these days.
I'd say probably four each day. Yeah, four.
Four each day, yeah, that's fair. Okay. I like that. I'd be happy with that. I think that'd be good.
Yeah. We'll go four each day. Hard to say how Rencarel, Sylvain, and Pils. We all know how they're riding. It's kind of a prophecy. We already all know what's gonna happen. Like they're kind of all gonna be up there battling for wins and podiums and mains. Like it's pretty, I don't think a whole lot will change.
Yeah. Sorry, there's a pause me because I'm eavesdropping on my landlords right now. There's some yelling going on. Sorry. Back to the show. I lost my train of thought now.
I said we kind of know what's going to happen with Pils and Sylvain and Rencarel. Like they'll be up there battling for podium mains.
I liked Sylvain made a cool post. You know, his photo of him chucking his helmet into the French crowd. Pretty awesome photo, in my opinion.
I want to say risky move though, chucking a helmet into a crowd of people.
Risky, but I mean, yeah, I think enough people are there watching. Nobody's getting bonked on the head by a helmet, I would hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's looking at him, probably waving that thing up in the air, and it's like a 3-2-1, here we go. So I'm risky, but I think it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I never saw where it landed. I saw a side angle of him throwing it one time at one point, and I thought he accidentally threw it like and just missed the crowd, and I was kind of laughing like
just smokes the bleachers.
The way it like hooked on his hand, I thought it like hooked and like took a hard dog leg left and missed. But yeah, it was cool to see that. It feels like Sylvain knows how to take advantage of the moments that are special, and I feel like he knows like going to like he was talked about in his post like that. Who knows when he's gonna get his next podium at home? Well, it's like, who knows when he's going to get to experience the Argentinian atmosphere ever again after these weekends, right? So I think he's someone that's really good at taking advantage of that, and this could be a weekend that he kind of, you know, comes back again, hopefully gets a win under his belt. Hasn't had a win.
Oh, my God, we have breaking news. Sorry to interrupt. Pils fucking exploded on the third straight. Oh, my God.
Seriously?
Manual, he went manual two, Case, blew a foot, and then just full ejectocito cuzzed.
Oh, going to this right now.
And there's a photo of him in an ambulance with his ankle wrapped. Oh,
we do not want to see that.
Oh, no, Pils.
I'm watching the video right now. Boom.
Pils.
Oh! Oh, my God. Dude, what happened? He almost did a running man out of it.
Oh, man.
How does that happen? What do you do? People are...
Just cased and blew a foot by the looks of it. Manual, two cased.
Yeah, he just did a one footer off the next one.
What an eject.
He almost did a slam. Ow.
Oh, man, his ankle looks huge. Hopefully he didn't break it, but, man, if it's that big, he might not be able to race.
You never know. It could be a sprain if it's that big. Maybe it just bulged up, but, dude, that fucking blows.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Breaking news. So, yeah, I hope Pils is okay for sure, obviously.
I don't.
Another.
He's out of this weekend, I think, by the looks of that, then, hey?
Yeah, but you never know. Speedy recovery. And the guy that's going to be interesting to follow is Cam Wood, coming back to his first World Cup from being hurt. I think his first World Cup of the year because he got hurt. Yeah. Maybe the first World Cup of the year?
Yeah, he had a surgery after.
Yeah, he got hurt in Turkey. He got hurt in Turkey, yeah.
Yeah, had a surgery after Turkey. So this is kind of. It feels like the first showing in a while. He's raced the U.S., the California National. Did that thing, but he's been quiet otherwise. This will be his first step back into the World Cup scene, which will be exciting.
Yeah, obviously had a great showing in L.A., but racing a World Cup is a different story, so we'll see how he does. Normally, I think this would be a really good track for him, like almost a bit more U.S. style, and he's obviously a great starter, so I think this track would suit him super well.
Kind of feels that way, hey? Like the jumps are techie, they're small. I think he's really good at absorbing jumps. Mm-hmm. That rhythm section on the third straight is quite aggressive. You need to be really precise, really aggressive, really active on the bike. And he's somebody that I think does that well. Kind of gives me like, yeah, if he's training, where's he usually training? Well, if he's training at Tulsa a lot of the time, those jumps are pretty, I mean, second straight, really got to absorb that one out of the first turn. The rhythm section, although it's not jumping, you got to be really quick, really active on the bike there. So I think it could be good for him. Why not?
Diego, I think, is going to be really tough to beat there also. Do you ever feel like South Americans are just faster in South America in general?
Dude, we come back to your percentages. I think 100%. It's, yeah, they don't drop off as much within South America as somebody, as these other people going to South America. Yeah, it comes back to that 100%.
Comes back to racing, like, in where you're comfortable, like what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, obviously. Mm-hmm. Even though Argentina isn't his home country. Kind of similar with Alfredo, being South American, and I've seen it with other Colombians in Argentina. They're just faster in South America than they are otherwise.
Yeah, the Colombian guys definitely have raced there more. Like, they've had other races there that they've been to in mm-hmm. Santiago, so they've been there a few more times. And I think the culture change is much less from where they are, like, say, in Colombia or somewhere, versus where the U.S. people are coming from or the Europeans are coming from. So there is just, like, there's less to get used to, less to adjust to, and they're just more comfortable in general. So, yeah.
Hi, white racing.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see why not. I absolutely assume so, yeah.
Bit of a question mark for me.
I think he was just quiet in Sarayans. I think he had a bad race. I think he went out early in Sarayans, and it's a one-day race, so it's just... If he goes out early and we don't really pay attention to that, well, then it's like, okay, cool. That sucks. We didn't get to see him or his potential. So, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to say he's got an edge, he's a little chip on his shoulder, but he's definitely had, like, Worlds didn't go his way. Sarayans didn't go great for him. So it's like, I feel like he's probably a little annoyed, a little pissed off, ready to get back to his ways of being in the main, being in the mix, getting on a podium.
Hope he does. He's due, I feel like.
He is due, honestly. Yeah, with how fast he was going at the beginning of this year, dude, holy smokes. Like, he is due for one.
Those were kind of the guys that I thought to really highlight. Is there anyone else that I left off?
I mean, we could go, as we always do, we could go down a long, long list. But
those
are
the main guys that stood out to me.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I mean,
I think I had Neek. Oh, I had Neek on there we didn't talk about yet.
Yeah, Neek said his performances that have been good there in the past. Like, he had that one day did poor, and then next day he comes back and wins it kind of... unexpectedly with how his first day went. But also somebody who I think he made a post that the year hasn't gone the way his previous years have been going, where he's been able to kind of dominate when he's feeling good. It seems like it's been a little tougher to get in those dominating ways. So it'd be nice to see him have a good bounce back weekend, I would call it. Maybe we kind of get out front there and mix it up with the guys in the lead.
Yeah, and he's obviously won in Argentina before. I feel like he has an extra gear that he can also switch into if he really wants to or is able to.
Yeah.
But, man, it's been hard. Like, he's gone up against the French guys who are having a fucking banner year.
Yeah. You know, I just realized this will be a great overall. This is the four weekends now. It's going to be really interesting to see how the stats go between the Swiss and the Colombian team. Because remember, we were kind of talking that, like, it seemed like the Swiss guys had, I mean, they had Simon, Brunner, Booty, and Renault was going fast as well. Like, they had a bunch of guys earning points that were going really quick, and it kind of felt like they could jump up and take that spot in, what was it, I guess, the second Olympic spot there. But with these races in South America, I think it's, with the Colombian guys being a little more comfortable, I have a hard time seeing the Swiss guys doing better than all the Colombians. Like, if you put the top three against the top three.
Completely agree. I think the Colombians will outperform the Swiss these next two weekends for sure. You know what? The U.S., it's good the U.S. has come back because they are in big trouble for Olympic points. They're only going to get one spot, I think, at this rate.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I kind of feel that way too. There's too many other countries, crazy. Other people, yeah.
2008 and 2012, they had three. We're one of the front runner teams, no problem. 2016, three. Last Olympics, two, and this Olympics, they're going to get one. Like, it's gone steadily downhill in terms of depth, which is crazy. Like, you think about how many good riders, like, how the U.S. is a powerhouse in general in BMX and has so many fast riders. The fact that they're only going to get one spot, it's severely underperforming for their BMX culture here.
Yeah, let's see. One, two, three. Yeah.
There's no way they should just be getting one.
You know what? So the first two countries are going to get the three spots. So I think the fun thing, like we just talked about Colombia and Switzerland, they're going to have a battle second and third. Is it, it's 3, 4, 5? Is it 6 as well? 3, 4, 5, 6 that gets two spots? Do I need to go to 15 BMX right now quickly and look?
Yeah, I can't remember, honestly.
Because they're in, U.S. is in sixth place right now, and seventh is Germany. Then, Australia.
I thought it was 3, 4, 5 get, I thought it was 3, 4, 5 get two.
And almost, I would feel better about that than, let's see. They, 15, we'll give them a shout out. They did a cool write-up about points and predictions of, like, the Olympic spots and all that. Kind of, if you're interested in the points background and, like, paying attention to who could be getting what spots, it's actually a fun little read to take a look at.
Our friends over at 15 BMX, go there for the latest news. They post good shit at 15.
Yeah. So I'm just getting, they got all the good stuff. I feel like I'm taking, it takes a while when you're trying to record a podcast and look at something at the same time. It takes a while.
But dude, there's no way. If they just get one, that'd be terrible underperformance.
Yeah. I think it would, but yeah. So ranking 3 to 5 is two spots in there,
yeah,
and six.
Yeah.
So they're only going to get one spot, dude.
They're pretty fucked. Yeah. They're going to get one. It's going to be Cam.
I don't see them beating Great Britain out, and that's, they're not going to do that.
They're not.
So crazy.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Brutal, yeah. All right. Any other guys we missed?
Simon. I think Simon. Keep an eye on Simon. But
oh, Simon, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a ton. We could see others. So we'll just stop it there. We'll get onto the
winner. Simon's back in the mains, baby.
Oh, yeah. He's back in the mains fighting for podiums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This first straight will suit him well, I think.
Women, do we talk about some locals?
Yes, Augustina Cavalli, yeah, gonna make the main. Gonna have, I don't know if she's made the main before, to be honest. I didn't look back in the archives.
Let me take a look.
But I think she's gonna have some career best performances this weekend and next weekend, from exactly what I went over at the beginning. It makes total sense. She's a great rider. She obviously trains at this place a lot. Has the potential to do well, like, kind of anywhere, but she doesn't have quite the elite level speed that the top echelon does. But I think in her home country, and you know, from what we know about home countries now, or racing in your home country, I think she'll be in the main.
Thinking like a breakout ride.
Yeah, breakout ride, 100%. Yeah. This is her weekend. Yeah, no. I think in my mind, I'm so confident with my data now. I just gonna call it.
Call it as it is. Call it straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at a World Cup, so it only shows the ones in 2019. It's not up to date. So, yeah, could be her first World Cup main if she gets in.
No, it's gonna be.
It's gonna be. All right, call it. Stamp it.
I bet I would bet $100 that it happens.
Oh, you want to do it?
No, but I would.
How about a coffee?
No, I'm not a gambler.
Oh my god, dude, have a little fun, would you? Loosen up.
No, I'm not a gambler.
Dude, it's not gambling. It's having a little fun. You're not fucking spending money on this stuff. Come on, I hate when you do that.
I don't gamble.
Yeah, shut up. I think you're lame when you say stuff like that.
So what do you think? Do you think she's going to make the main or not?
No. Okay. I think she'll make a semi, but there's way too many fast girls right now that she's going to be quick. And yeah, Bart, something could happen in the semi. That's very possible. But I don't see her straight up beating these top girls, like the top 10 girls right now. I don't see her beating straight up beating them into the main.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. Besides that, I think we have the usual crowd. So we got Beth, Laura, Meryl, Zoe, Molly, Elise, Mariana. She's there too.
Yeah.
Beth, Laura, Meryl, Zoe, Molly. Then I also had Peyton and Delaney.
Nice.
Who are we missing from that top group? We're missing someone. We're missing one or two.
Let me go to the list.
Lauren.
Is she there? Is she racing all of them? Is she there? I saw her at home the other day, I thought, in a story, and I was like, what's she doing?
Assuming, but I'm not positive.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I'm just
Felicia. Kidding.
So we got, yeah, I'm looking at do you want the top 10 in the...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so top 10 in just actual UCI points, not World Cup points, is Zoe, Bethany, Laura, Mariana, Molly, Elise, Meryl, Saya.
Saya.
Melanie's still in ninth in Menon Vistra. That's in UCI ranking, not World Cup ranking.
Okay, so it was Saya that I forgot to add. Yeah. So besides Augustina, who I think we both agree is going to make the main have a breakout run. I think the three fastest, if I had to pick, obviously Saya, Beth, and probably Elise, I think, are the three fastest. No, Saya, Beth, and Zoe, I think, are the three fastest.
Saya, Beth, Zoe. Yeah, it's fair. They seem to be the front runners. I would put Elise in that category too.
But if I had to pick three, my top three, like not necessarily in results, but in overall speed, I think are those three. In my opinion.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Elise would be four for me.
Okay. Yeah, I get that too. I mean, Zoe's been flying lately. She's been putting herself in really good positions. Yeah, she's been like phenomenal around the track. So it's like, how could you ever bet against her? Yeah. Do you think this first straight, do you consider it more of a wide open first straight? It's like two jumps with a roller, but it's not super long, but it is definitely like you're pinning it after the landing of the first jump.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Like it's not that long of a first straight, but you can really go balls out. Like you land the first jump and then you just haul ass.
Right.
It's kind of fun. Cause you just hop over the roller, spin like crazy, and then just go tap, tap into the corner. It's pretty sick. I like that first straight.
I asked that cause I think it's definitely that kind of first straight, the wide open one. I think it'll suit someone like Bethany, even Saya, but I don't know if it's like, to me, I don't know if that's what I view Elise as being better at compared to those girls.
It's kind of more US style though. Like not as much jumping on the first straight, which I feel like would suit Elise, more sprinting.
Okay. Part of me thinks that she's going to get, she gets a win in the four races. I just don't know which one it'll be. I'm thinking within the four, she gets a win, but man, I think we don't see a repeat winner in the girls all four races here.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I'm looking at the list and I'm counting five people that I think could win it. And I just don't see it. Somebody doubling down.
I think we see one repeat winner.
One repeat. Do you think it's Beth, Saya, Zoe? Who do you think?
I think Beth and Saya are the two like fastest in terms of like whole shot and winning. I think they both get one. I don't know who else, what other third girl would win. I don't know, to be honest. I'm going to go with Beth and Saya for this weekend. We'll see.
Okay.
For next week.
Yeah, that's fair.
But they split it.
Yeah. I think Mariana, we talk about someone feel comfortable, someone that's done well here in the past. She's one of them. I think she comes out. Man, I didn't even put her in my top five in my head when I was thinking of the girls that can win. I throw her as somebody that gets a win. Like, I think she's stepping it up here. I think it's not a new Mariana, but it's like she's stepping her game up again now that the race is in South America.
I think she goes 3-5.
3-5 the first weekend. Okay, both mains. We're happy with that.
Yeah, I think she has a solid weekend, gets on the box, and goes 3-5.
I love that for her. That's fantastic. Yeah. You know, as long as it's in the right direction for the Olympics, happy with that.
We need Mariana to go 4-for-4 with medals.
It's the queen. We're all on board with that. Like that's what we're looking for.
I'm on board, 100% on board with Mariana winning the next Olympics or at least getting a medal.
Yeah, 100%. Let's do it.
God, that'd be fucking awesome.
It'd be insane. It'd be so good.
Kind of don't know about Laura this weekend, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, we kind of discussed the last show where you kind of mentioned you weren't really sure if she's in her winning way still with how much the other girls have stepped it up. So I think she's had success here in the past. So maybe she can.
She's had fucking success everywhere.
I know.
She's won every World Cup pretty much.
That's true. That's yeah.
Okay. Oh, one sec. I thought of this earlier too. Pause on Laura for a sec.
Pause.
If there were the same amount of like, obviously, the racing skewed towards Europe than it is the U.S. Consider all the racing for World Cups is generally in the U.S. with a few in Europe. Does Laura still have her same career? I say, like, for sure, she's still multi-time winner. But I don't think she has nearly as many wins. I think she feel like she has, like, 10 maybe instead of 30.
Yeah, I see where you're getting at. I don't think it's as low as
like, 10. Take away take away Pops and Zolder, and you have to race just like Rock Hill, Chula, and I don't know, fucking Houston or somewhere.
I see where you're getting at. Yeah, it's definitely less. It's definitely lower. I don't think you can take all of them away. You could take half away from Europe. I just think she went through a period of time where she was too dominant. So, like, those stats.
It's also true. Like, yeah. I think her level was also higher than, generally higher than the rest.
Yeah, so that's why I think definitely take some races off, but I wouldn't drop it from 30 to 10. I would drop it from 30 to 18 or 20. Like, I would still keep it really high up, only for the fact of how dominant she was for those handful of years at World Cups.
See, I think if you race a bunch more in the U.S., I think Elise has a shit ton more.
100% too, though. Yeah, I 100% like agree with that, yeah.
Like, I think Elise would have, like, 20. I don't know how many she has now. But
I don't know why it felt to me for a while. Like, I remember, I can't remember the exact years now. There were definitely a couple years in between the Olympic cycles where it felt like Elise probably wasn't worried about the traveling and doing the World Cups and stuff, and that's where Laura was really finding her stride and stepping on the gas and just racking up those wins. So if you took some of, like, that time away, put those World Cups in the U.S. where Elise maybe would have done more, that's where, yeah, we could have seen Elise get more, Laura get less.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But hypotheticals anyway. Laura, I think, probably gets a podium this weekend. Yep. One. Okay. I'm going to go with one.
Okay. Yeah, it's understandable, too. And I think that I'm going to continue saying it. There's too many girls. These girls are all too evenly matched for me to say that it's like, it's just an easy podium for Laura. It's not. Like, it's really, it's going to be tough as it is.
We need some World Cups in Canada so Molly can grab some wins.
Yeah, honestly, though, right? Yeah. Do you think you see on the podium this weekend? Because I kind of do.
I'd say two mains, but objectively, I don't call podium, though.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking one main, one podium.
Prove me wrong, Molly. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know why. Yeah, you know, sometimes you just have those itchings, you know?
It's only a matter of time before she is again.
100%. So.
Yeah.
Looking down the list on the World Cup standings, within the top 10 is Felicia. She's in ninth. She's actually moved up four places into ninth, which is kind of surprising. I didn't think she would move up that many places to get into ninth. But clearly, maybe that's a trend. Maybe things are kind of slowly coming back around for her.
She's raced all the World Cups this year, right?
Yes.
It's not good for Felicia. Ninth? It's not good.
For her, but maybe what are we looking back on? Like, what was her results at the beginning of this year compared to maybe Sarjan's and what we can expect now? I don't know. We said something needs to change. We don't know if something's changed, but I don't know. You want to hope. She's under the umbrella. You
want
to hope.
You do want. We've been waiting for a while. I don't see it happening at this point in time.
We need to wait till the winter so something can change. Like,
when I say that, I don't see her like winning a World Cup this weekend, is what I mean.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah.
There hasn't been an indication that she has, that she can battle with the top women, but you never know.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be tough. I'm looking at the other girls too. I mean, Camille and Delaney are right under there too. Camille, I feel like, is in the same boat as Felicia, whereas Delaney, we've kind of been holding stock and like kind of, she didn't go backwards, but we're waiting for Delaney to kind of break out even more. You think that happens now? I don't know if this is the place for it.
It's time for Delaney to step up this weekend. Yeah.
Time to go desert. What's her nickname? Desert Dog.
Time for the Desert Destroyer to put it in a big show.
I love it.
Okay. I'm going to go Delaney makes a main this weekend.
Love it.
And races well. Delaney makes a main and like generally races really well here.
I think. Yeah,
I got a good feeling about her at this track.
Do you like this track for the women?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. Why?
I was just curious. Like, I mean, like, yeah. I think it's quite technical. Not jumps aren't all massive, but I think the rhythm is quite technical. There's a couple different lines, I think, on the second straight, if I remember. Well, there's one option, I think, at the end. Maybe that's about it. But yeah, that's why I was asking.
The track's not anything special for anyone, but it's not also bad. It's kind of just
racetrack,
just a normal average supercross track that's kind of fun and fast and
yeah,
good for racing. Yeah, so I think overall, like, I always liked it.
That's true. I was just checking the YouTube chat. We got a few of the guys, Alicia English, Mitchie was in the chat, boy Jake's Fern's in the chat too. Yeah, it's good to see people, you know, tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've actually done a live, come to think of it.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
Probably like a month, yeah. Peyton's been trending. I bet she's in the main also. She makes a main also this weekend.
That'd be cool. I think that'd be good. I was thinking that they have Pan Am's. Pan Am Games are the weekend after the second weekend of Santiago. I don't know which U.S. Cool. girls are qualified for it. I'm obviously Elise. She's probably qualified for it, so she'll go unless she doesn't want to, I'd imagine.
I don't think Elise is going.
Okay.
I asked her at Sean's wedding. I don't think she's going.
Okay, yeah, she's skipping it. That's what I figured. She probably doesn't need to, doesn't want to.
Yeah, at this point. Probably skipping it. So I think you're probably, I would, good question. Probably Peyton, I would assume, would go, and maybe Delaney.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to ask. Do you think Delaney goes or Felicia?
Probably Peyton and Delaney.
Yeah, okay. I would say so too. Give those two girls the shot at Pan Am's, whereas somewhere Felicia has already had that experience. Yeah.
Like Felicia's already won it. So,
yeah.
That's a big 3 weeks in South America. Boy.
Dude, huge. Huge.
Where are the Pan Am's this year?
Chile?
Chile. Gonna say, that's where I thought they were too. I just didn't want to say it and be wrong.
Good. Okay, then I would guess you're right. Yeah, dude, huge travel trip for them because they're coming from France already. They were in Europe already. They didn't go home after the World Cup. So it's basically, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, month and a half on the road.
It's tough.
Yeah.
That's a big trip.
Yeah, that's huge, especially with a doubleheader in Santiago in the middle there.
Cool. That's a big trip, yeah. Any other women? Men on Veenstra? Going to be a staple in there?
She's going to battle her way in. She always does, you know? Mm-hmm. I would love to see her stats when it comes to at home versus globally, because I think she could be somebody who would actually ruin the stats. She finds a way into these mains other places all the time, I feel like. So, yeah.
You'd think that, but, well, from stats, the four people the I show. From the five people I analyzed, I didn't think, like, personally, I was that better in the U.S. than Europe, but statistically, you generally are.
Fair.
So, I mean, I would love to crunch hers. I would love to have these stats for everybody. I can't simply do it all myself.
It's not going to happen. You're just not the stats guy. You don't have the technology. There's somebody out there that could set up some computer software system where it would do it for him. You're just not that.
No. Any other women? Are we gonna get an Axel Etienne sighting in Argentina?
Yeah. Do you want me to just look and see? Probably.
I mean, I would hope she's there.
Let me
see why she wouldn't be.
You just never know with her. You just never know. Let me see if she's posted the classic story or anything. I'm seeing nothing on the classic story, but I'm seeing the classic. Yep, she's going to Argentina. Classic post going to Argentina. Yep.
To the line today for Argentina. Yeah, nice.
All right. In the main, probably.
One.
All right.
Yeah. I think she makes one main. Anything else Argentina wise? Anything else we got?
People need to eat a lot of steak and fries.
I was gonna say, Will. Yeah. Enjoy the steak, enjoy the fajitas.
I want to see how many dogs are running out there, if it's even less than the times before. Maybe it's more now. Who knows?
But enjoy, folks. This is a great, great, great race. Thanks to ProGate Europe. Winning starts at the Great Gate.
We need two questions from the grandstands.
Oh, wow. You're right. Almost forgot.
Almost. I got you.
Questions from the grandstands. Yeah, here we go. Do you have them or is it all me?
All you.
Do we see past winners redeem themselves or does the trend continue with new winners? From Scott Wire.
Both. Like, George has won there before. I think he wins there again. Rome hasn't won there before, but he's won this year. I think he wins.
From Eli Shaw, how many wins does Rico Bierman get in SDE?
Over the four weekends, I could see him getting two.
Let me guess 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4. Nice. Hell yeah. That'd be sick.
From Team Gully Racing, LOL, is there anything they can apply at the painted corners to help gain back some traction? Good question. I have no idea how it works.
I really don't either, unfortunately.
I
don't really think grinding it's going to help at all. I don't think you could throw, like, you know, when they do in like garages where you throw sand or dirt or something down and then paint over it. I don't think that would really help at all.
No. Oh, for Victor PNTN, Resende is back. Do you think he will go to the 24 Vet Pro Worlds? Is fucking Resende racing there? Right on.
No way he's racing there. Is he actually? I'm looking. I'm going to look him up.
What a UCI Supercross legend.
Dude, you want to talk about somebody who GoPro could just legend. Randomly just... Yeah, it was a GoPro legend. They loved him. He was always mixing it up. He looks like he's mountain biking a little too much. Dude. He's not going to be... Who knows, Resende, dude.
Okay, well, that's a question mark.
Yeah, it's a question mark. I have no idea.
From Jack Dadju, where was Tori's last pro podium? I think Papendal in 2017 at the World Cup, but I got third overall in the series that year. So technically I was on the overall World Cup podium in Argentina at the end of 2017. So I guess that one.
Okay.
So Argentina. Wow. Yeah. That was the last one.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, how about that?
Good times in Del Estero. Oh, wow. This is a really long one. Does this paragraph below mean France gets 4 or even 5 spots in the Olympics instead of 3? I'm not going to read the paragraph. No, they're not getting more than 3. No, they're not going to get. They're going to get 3.
They're not getting more than 3 spots.
They fucking should, though.
They should, but it's not a thing. So
they should get 5.
Yeah, honestly, 100% they should. The way they should just get 2 teams.
It's absurd that. Two guys, those dudes aren't going to go. I feel really bad for them already.
Yeah.
ProGate Europe winning starts with a great gate. The winner is going to have a great start. Gonzalo Molina is going to be one hell of a starter in Del Estero.
Dude, he practices on a ProGate Europe every gate he does there. You need to get your track at ProGate Europe. Go get one today.
All right, folks. Snap on green. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with the recap show.
Snap on green.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the track.
I hate that guy.